Turn with me to Mark chapter 14, verse 27. Jacob had fled from Esau and the rest of his family. He had stolen Esau's birthright and blessing, and Esau had decided to kill him and had begun to tell some people about that. Jacob got wind of it. So he fled, and for a number of years he worked with Laban in the land of Aram. But finally he has decided to go back to his homeland. But he's afraid. And at the river, he's getting ready to cross over the river, and he meets the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. And he begins to wrestle with him. He doesn't know who it is, but he's wrestling with this messenger, Jesus Christ. And all night long, he holds fast to him, and he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And finally, Jesus touches his hip. His hip comes out of joint, and he changes his name to Israel, the one who wrestles with God and overcomes. I want to tell you something. In a lot of things, Jacob was not a good example. But in this thing, Jacob was a great example, because he understood the necessity of persevering with God. Persevering in prayer. I'm convinced we need to persevere in prayer. The Bible says we ought always to pray and not to faint. We have things that are going to happen in our lives that are unexpected. We have challenges that we will face. But even in those good times, we need to persevere in prayer. We need His presence. We need the refreshment that comes in our time with Him. Jesus is gathered in the Garden of Gethsemane. We're actually going to begin in verse 26 here in just a moment, but it says that they sang a hymn and went out. And so they're making the trek across to the Garden of Gethsemane, and then they get to the garden, and Jesus begins to warn His disciples. And He says, look, He says, you guys are going to forsake me. Peter, the spokesman, you know, he's always the one who opened his mouth, said, no, if all these other guys forsake you, I will never forsake you. Jesus said, Peter, before this night is over, you will deny me three times. And all the other disciples defended themselves as well. Yes, we're willing to die with you. Yes. You know the story. But Jesus continues to warn them, and He says, listen, He gets Peter, James, and John, come aside with me, and I'm going to pray. My soul is exceedingly heavy and burdened. You come alongside with me and sit here while I go over there and pray. And what'd they do? They fell asleep. He came back. Could you not? He says to Peter, interestingly, to Peter, who he said, I won't deny you, Lord. Peter, are you already asleep? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Comes back a second time, they're asleep. Comes back a third time, they're asleep. Okay, my betrayer's coming. Go on and get your rest. We need to hear Jesus' warning, because Jesus' warning to the disciples is a warning that every one of us needs to hear. We must always persevere in prayer. The title of my message is Hearing Jesus' Warning. Look with me at verse 26. We'll read the scripture. It says, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will fall away, because it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. Peter told him, even if everyone falls away, I will not. Truly, I tell you, Jesus said to him, tonight, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he kept insisting. If I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And they all said the same thing. Then they came to a place called Gethsemane, and he told his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake." And he went a little farther, fell to the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Then he came and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Couldn't you stay awake 1 hour? Stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once again he went away and prayed, saying the same thing. And again he came and found them sleeping because they could not keep their eyes open. They did not know what to say to him. Then he came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The time has come. See, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's go. See, my betrayer is near." Hearing Jesus' warning, why do we need to hear his warning? Well, you need to listen to Jesus' warning due to our future trouble. Our future trouble. Verse 27, Jesus said to them, "All of you will fall away." All of you will fall away. They had a future trouble, a trouble that was right around the bend. Jesus said, "You need to prepare. You need to pray." We oftentimes have trouble. Somebody once said, you're either coming out of a trial, you're in the middle of a trial, or you're about to go into a trial. And that's generally the way life works. What is right around the bend? Would you be ready if a major trial came into your life today? All of us will have trouble if Jesus tarries. Will you be ready? The scripture says that Elijah, I love the character of Elijah. Elijah faced down the prophets of Baal, one of my favorite scriptures. And he says, "The one, the God that answers with fire, he is God." And so the prophets of Baal are calling out to God, their gods, to have fire come from heaven and consume their sacrifices, and nothing happens. And Elijah kind of says, "Well, where's your God? Is he on a trip? Is he using the bathroom?" That's a possible translation anyway. But anyway, they've got, "What's going on here? Where's your God?" And then, of course, after they've done all these things, then Elijah has them dump all this water on his sacrifice. And then he calls to God, and God sends fire from heaven and consumes the sacrifice. And the prophets of Baal are put to death, and the right worship is restored in Israel. Elijah travels a short distance away, and word comes to him that Jezebel, the queen, has said, "Tomorrow your life is going to be like one of these prophets of Baal. I'm going to kill you." Elijah plunges into a deep depression. "Am I the only one? Lord, my life is not worth living. I'm no better than my ancestors. Take my life." He wasn't prepared for that. Sometimes after our greatest victories, there can be the greatest trouble right around the corner. Are you prepared? Job didn't know that there was trouble coming around the corner for him either. Job had trouble unlike you and I will likely ever experience. Though he did not understand, though he didn't interpret the circumstances the right way, he didn't sin. One place he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You see, Job had walked with God. I believe he was prepared when the trial came, as prepared as you could be for that kind of trial. Jesus says, listen, disciples, there's a trouble coming. There's a darkness coming. There's a difficulty coming. It's right around the corner. You need to watch and pray. Listen, there's trouble all around us in this world, isn't there? We need to watch and pray. We need to watch and pray for our children. Can I tell you, the devil wants your children. You need to lift those children to the Lord in prayer. A pastor friend of mine suggested coming up with a 30-day, 31-day prayer. You have a different prayer for each day for your kids. What you'd like to see God accomplish in your kids' lives, and then pray those things each day throughout the month for your kids. And we did that in my home, and Sharon and I both. Now, I didn't really follow the everyday thing. I kind of would pray through it a couple of times a month all at once. That's because I just like doing it that way better. But, you know, we've come back to those prayer requests, and it's amazing. I think probably over half of those prayer requests have been answered. It's amazing what God will do if we just ask Him to do it. By the way, recently I came up with a 31-day prayer for this church that I'm praying for in my time with God. But can I encourage you? We don't know what future trouble may come, but we serve a God who can handle whatever may come. Lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. We serve the God that raised Lazarus, that walks on water, that commands the winds and waves and they have to cease, that rebukes blindness so that somebody can see, that changes human hearts. What an amazing God we serve. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer you, and you will honor me. So, hear Jesus' warning about persevering in prayer, because we don't know what future trouble may come. Secondly, hear Jesus' warning. Listen due to our misplaced confidence. Look at verse 29. Peter told him, if everyone falls away, I will not. Our misplaced confidence. Have you ever just thought, you know what? God's kind of lucky to have me. I think I got this thing wired. I'm ready to charge hell with a water pistol. I've got it together. Watch out. There have been times in my life where I've had a confidence in myself, and can I tell you, it never leads to the good road. It never leads there. Listen, I understand there's such a thing as a healthy self-concept in the sense that you believe that God has gifted you and those kinds of things. But if we begin to trust in ourselves, we're in serious trouble. God's not going to change things because some human being somewhere comes up with a great idea. God's going to change things because His people call upon Him. Peter had experienced this before. Remember, he says, call me to walk on the water, Jesus. And, of course, he's the only one who had the courage to do that. You have to give him credit for that. But Peter steps out of the boat, and he's doing okay. He's watching Jesus, and he takes a few steps walking on water. Man, what must that have been like? I don't know. Did it swish between his toes? I don't know. But he's walking on water. And he takes his eyes off Jesus. And what does he begin to do? To sink. You see, we do okay if we keep our eyes on Jesus, if we put our trust in Him. The victory that overcomes the world is not faith in ourselves. It is faith in God. The world says, trust yourself. Do what's necessary to accomplish things yourself. Nothing wrong with diligence, but God says, trust in me. What did Jesus say over and over again in the Gospels? Believe in me. Trust me. If you believe, right? Our confidence needs to be in God. You can directly tell how much confidence you have in God by how much time you spend in prayer. I'm not a legalist. I'm not going to tell you how much you ought to pray each day or each week. Or, you know, we're all at different places too in our spiritual lives. And we have different personalities and God uses us in different ways. But you ought to have a regular time with God. Regular time. To neglect your time with God, what you're saying in effect is, God, I don't need you. I've got this thing wired on my own. Misplaced confidence. When my brother was little, he used to like to flex in the mirror, okay? Y'all don't give him a hard time about this if he comes and visits, okay? But he would flex in the mirror, and he was skinny. The only muscles he had were his trapezius muscles, okay? So he'd flex, and the only muscles that popped were right here, like this. It was funny. You know, I tried not to laugh, and, of course, I wasn't much better. But anyway, he's focusing on his strength. I think sometimes God must think we're like that. We're trying to do this. I got this thing. I'm going to man up. God says, how long are you going to struggle with that? You remember when Jesus was up on the mountain praying? He'd fed the 5,000, and he sends the disciples across the sea, and they're in there, and they're striving. I mean, these guys, they're men. I mean, Peter's a strong man. They've got these oars and they're fighting the waves. There's a storm and they're not making any progress at all. Finally, Jesus feels sorry for them and he says, I'm going to go out and help those guys out. And so he walks across the water to them. You know the story. And he gets in the boat and he rebukes the winds and the waves and immediately stops. The problem with most of us is we're out there trying to row the boat without Christ. And we're not making any headway. Some people, they have a sin issue in their life. Well, I'll do better tomorrow. I'm going to exercise my willpower. Where there's a will, there's a way. I'll get it together. Tomorrow comes and they do the same thing. The same thing. I'm not saying if you trust in Christ, you'll live a perfect life, because you won't. But what I am saying is if you invite Jesus into your situation, you have a whole lot better chance of succeeding. All things are possible with God. Walk in the Spirit, and you will surely not fulfill the things of the flesh. That's what the Scripture says. Or perhaps it's accomplishing something for God. You know, sometimes God gives us a spiritual gift when we get proud. So, well, you know, look at what God's gifted me. Here, look at what I've got here. And, you know, we begin to have confidence in this giftedness. Listen, in our weakness He is strong, but I'm going to tell you, our giftedness will be greater if we put our trust in Jesus. Pray about everything. Don't let that overwhelm you. I don't mean but think about things. I mean, what is it that you're trying to accomplish in your spiritual life? Take that to God in prayer. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. And so Our misplaced confidence, pride can creep in very, very easily. If pride creeps in, quote that scripture verse from John 15. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. See, I can't even talk without the Lord. Open my throat, Lord. Then the Bible says all things are possible with God, so we can put our confidence in Him. God doesn't mean for us to be paralyzed in weakness. He means for us to lift our eyes in faith to Him. So, hear Jesus' warning about perseverance in prayer. Listen due to our future trouble, our misplaced confidence. Thirdly, our inner struggle. Our inner struggle. Look at what he says in verse 36. Now, this is Jesus, and before I read this verse, we know, the scripture tells us, Jesus was tempted in all ways just as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus never committed sin. But here, we see an inner struggle in Jesus' life. He says in verse 36, Abba, which is Daddy, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. You see, all of us have this inner struggle between what I will and what God wills, right? I have an inner struggle every morning. I'm not a morning person. The alarm goes off at 6 a.m. And sometimes I don't want to get up. It's warm under those covers. I'm cozy. I'm sleepy. I don't want to get up. But I know I've got to get up and go to work, right? There's things that God has for me to do. I can't just lay around in the bed all day and wallow. I've got to get up. But there's this inner struggle. Sometimes I don't hear the snooze button the first two times I push it. Anyway. This inner struggle is in every one of us. We're told that mama eagles will tear up the down and the comfort of the nest because they know their eaglets need to learn how to fly. And they know if they don't make the nest uncomfortable, they'll never get out of the nest and they'll never learn to fly. Sometimes we're so consumed with our own comfort and what we want, we never consider what God may desire to accomplish in our lives. What if God led us down a path that was uncomfortable? What if God chose us to minister to someone or minister in a situation that was very difficult? God had called Jesus to face the cup of God's wrath. That's what the cup means, by the way. It's an Old Testament symbol. Jesus said, the Old Testament, when the prophecies said, you will drink the cup of God's wrath down to its dregs. The cup that's unmixed. In other words, there's no water diluting it. The cup is unmixed. The full strength, the full power of God's wrath. A culture would, they'd reach God's deadline. By the way, that's why you need to pray for America. One of these days we're going to reach God's deadline if we don't repent. And judgment's going to come. But the cup of wrath would then begin to be poured out upon a society. But you see, Jesus came to take the wrath for us. But Jesus also knew just what he was taking upon himself. The magnitude of it. We were talking about that in Sunday school this morning. About how the ground shook and the rocks broke apart. And people came out of tombs because the fury and the holiness of God was being poured out upon his son. We'll never understand that with our finite human minds. What transacted that day? Far greater
that we could conceive. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. That inner struggle that we all have. You need to make up your mind to follow Jesus. Whether it means discomfort or whether it means an easy time or a difficult time, chances are there's going to be some difficulties you will face in following Jesus Christ. How do you deal with the inner struggle? In your time of prayer. Notice the different ways Jesus and his disciples responded to this situation. Jesus takes his inner struggle to the Father. By the way, you know, it never shocks God if you tell him what you're thinking. He already knows. So just go ahead and tell him. Lord, I'm struggling with this. You're asking me to do this, and I don't want to do it. I don't like the path that you put before me. Just tell him. He knows it. Take it to him. Jesus was struggling with this. He takes it to the Father three times. And the scripture tells us, and Lord willing, we're going to get into this a little bit more next week, and some of the wonderful things that Jesus experienced for us. But Jesus was crying out with loud cries and tears to God. He was wrestling, struggling, just like Jacob wrestled that day. But Jesus came out of his season of prayer with complete peace, complete trust in God, complete fixed, determined purpose. They were falsely accusing him. He didn't answer. Pilate was amazed. He said, do you have no answer for this? Are you not going to speak on behalf? Are you not going to defend yourself? What's going on here? Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. And he had been with God. He had perfect peace, a perfect determination to do God's will. And he weathered the storm in faith in God. The inner struggle was over. On the other hand, the disciples slept. The inner struggle happened for them after Judas and the guards showed up. And they were forced to decide between their own discomfort, perhaps being judged with Jesus, probably was their fear. Or would they get out of there and forget they ever knew this man named Jesus? They chose to flee. This is too much. This is not what we signed up for. This is not what we expected. James and John were arguing about who would get to sit at the right hand and the left of his kingdom. This is not what we signed up for. So they fled and they forsook him. And Peter denied him three times. Take your inner struggle to the Father. So hearing Jesus' warning, why should we listen? Listen due to our future trouble, our misplaced confidence, our inner struggle, our physical weakness. 37. Then he came and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? By the way, the word Simon, Jesus hasn't used that in the Gospel of Mark since he changed his name to Peter. Now, there's a theological reason Mark is only recording those certain times. Simon. In other words, Peter, you used to be the rock. Now you're just Simon. You're sleeping. Couldn't you stay awake 1 hour? Jesus says, the trouble's coming. You're in the battle for your life. Can't you stay awake 1 hour?
Now, I think what he's doing, he's calling attention to Peter's weakness. Not to condemn him, but to point him toward where his eyes need to be, where his faith needs to be. But Peter's not the only one that's weak. You and I are weak too. I've fallen asleep I don't know how many times in my quiet time. Okay? Now, granted, probably wasn't a time as big or important as what this was. But we are all beset with physical weakness. Paul said in Romans 7, speaking about his old nature and his failure, doing the things he wants to do, not doing the things he wants to do, and doing the things he doesn't want to do, and woe is me, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul recognized in his own strength, he couldn't live the Christian life. He failed at every turn. But then he discovered if he would live the Christian life in Christ's strength, and then, as he talks about in chapter 8, in the filling of the Holy Spirit, it would be a completely different ballgame. And he says in Romans 8, he says, the Spirit will also quicken our mortal bodies. To quicken means to strengthen or to bring to life or to empower. Our physical weakness is not something that God can overcome. Remember Moses? God says, Moses, I want you to go deliver my people in Egypt. And he says, I can't talk. He said, who made tongues, Moses? You think I can't help you talk? You think I can't overcome your physical weakness? Sometimes God calls us to our weakness so that we'll trust in Him. And of course, you know the story. Aaron only spoke for him once, I think. And then Moses took over and he was the spokesman from then on. And didn't miss a beat. God was with him. God overcame his physical weakness. What would have happened had Peter and the apostles already been spending time in prayer the way they should? Their moment of defeat and unbelief could have been a moment of victory by faith in God. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You see, it's in that personal time of prayer, praying in the Spirit, part of the spiritual warfare that we do, that God boosts our faith. You see, Satan is not afraid of us, but he is terrified of what God will do when his people pray. He'll overcome that physical weakness. Emotional weakness. He can overcome our emotional weakness. He can overcome our spiritual failure, our spiritual weakness. I can do all things. All things. What does that mean in the Greek? All things. Through Christ who strengthens me. All means all. How does Christ strengthen us when we call upon His name? Last reason we should listen to Him is because of our old nature. Hearing Jesus' warning, why should we listen to it? Listen because of our future trouble, our misplaced confidence, our inner struggle, our physical weakness, our old nature. Verse 38, stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. If you're a child of God today, You've been made a new creation in Christ. You have a new set of desires. You want, at some level, you want to please Christ. But you also have an old nature. Won't it be great one of these days when we get rid of that thing? That old nature is weak. And it will lead you to do the opposite of what God says. It will provoke you. It will rise up within you. And you'll find yourself doing the opposite of what you wanted to do in your new nature. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus knew the disciples' intentions were good. He knew their hearts, that they wanted to follow him, that they wanted to be faithful. But he also knew and was realistic about their flesh, their old nature. You need to be realistic about your flesh and your old nature. Sometimes we'll hear people say, well, I would never do that. Be careful. Listen, there's the potential of any kind of wickedness to come out of the heart of a child of God if you're walking in your own strength. But when you're filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will quicken that old nature, strengthen, empower that old nature so that you can live for God. Jesus says, stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. So apparently prayer can even prevent the time of temptation from time to time. Remember what Jesus prayed? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So he says, watch and pray so you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So as we pray, we learn more and more how to draw near to God, how to walk in his spirit. But we also invite God into the situation. Peter, when he began to sink in the ocean, after getting his eyes off Jesus, had a one-word prayer. Help! Right? And Jesus reached down and pulled him up. I love that. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been sinking? Have you ever felt helpless? Call upon the name of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. I love that. Call unto him. He knows about stuff you don't even know about, and he'll show it to you. If you'll call upon his name in prayer. Hearing Jesus' warning, why should you hear it? Hear it because of our future trouble, misplaced confidence, inner struggle, physical weakness, and our old nature. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us what to do so that we can be overcomers. Lord, help us not to get our eyes off of you, but help us faithfully, regularly, daily be in our time of prayer with you. And help us not to get our eyes off of you as a church, Lord. Help us not to neglect our prayers as a body of believers. Lord, we have a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. We have drawing near service where we pray. God, help us not to neglect to come or to pray as a body.